Welcome to the Brute Strength Podcast, bringing you worldwide experts from all areas of health and fitness. We cover training, nutrition, coaching, and mindset. Welcome your host, strength and conditioning coach, 2012 and 2013 CrossFit Games champ, Michael Cashew. Mind, body, brute.
Welcome back. This is Michael Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I've got Hunter McIntyre back on the show. Hunter is also known as Hunt the Sheriff on Instagram. And as of 2 or 3 weeks ago, Hunter got the very first wild card spot at the CrossFit Games. About a year ago, he had heard that Greg Glassman was talking about this wild card spot, and he decided that he wanted one, and he made it known across the fitness industry that he was gunning for one of these spots. You can see him doing interviews on Forbes, on the Morning Chalk Up. He's done things all over trying to spread the message that he wants one of these spots. And as of about 2 or 3 weeks ago, he finally got one. And since then, there's been a lot of shit talking directed at him regarding this spot. A lot of anger directed at him when really what they're feeling may be more appropriately directed at Greg Glassman and the people that are making the decisions to create this spot in the first place. So being a friend of Hunter's, I wanted to give him a platform to speak and to express himself. And as always, he's incredibly entertaining and insightful. Hunter is a 6, maybe 7-time world champion obstacle course racer, and he knows his shit. He is a professional and he is well-researched. He walks the walk and he's done the work on himself to really understand what it takes to be a champion. And there's some really interesting things to learn in this one. If nothing else, just hear a couple of bros making crude jokes. And without further ado, please welcome Hunter McIntyre. Hey, before we start this show, I want to let you know about something I'm super pumped about right now, which is that I started a second podcast. It's called the WAG Podcast, and I do it with my wife, Adi Cashew. And the reason that we started this second show is because over the past few years, I've had the opportunity to interview some of the best and brightest in the health and fitness space, from New York Times bestselling authors to Olympians and CrossFit Games athletes to NFL coaches to sports psychologists, you name it, a lot of the best and the brightest. And I have also interviewed my wife, Adi, 6 or 7 times. And without fail, the episodes that get the most engagement in terms of direct messages or mentions on social media or emails are all the ones that I do with her. And I think it has something to do with the authenticity of the conversations, the fact that we know each other a little bit better and can pull stories out of the other. And so we decided that we're going to start a second show. And the format is each episode is 20 to 30 minutes on a single topic with actionable steps after each. We talk about nutrition, personal development, mindset, and fitness. And so far, the response has been incredible. So if you're interested in the conversations that we've had on this show, I know you will love that one. So go check it out. Let me know what you think. Let's get into this episode. Let's see. Do you have like a stage name?
I wish my name was White Lightning, but someone just took it. You know, they call me the Sheriff. They call me Bulk Pony.
Oh, the Sheriff. That's right.
The Sheriff, Bulk Pony, Hunter. Like, I've got a lot of things. Lots of alter egos. Shreddy Spaghetti when I'm surfing. You know, whatever you want to use for the day.
So we've already started recording. So for those of you listening, I'm back with Hunter McIntyre, the Sheriff, White Lightning. Hunter, thank you so much for making some time for me, brother.
I'm really excited. You know, I was actually looking on my Skype. We talked 1 year ago and a month and 2 days. So
wow, like, it's pretty much scary.
Our 1 year anniversary. So this was kind of like it was due.
And on the first one, guys, I don't know if you remember this, Hunter, but we discovered something kind of crazy. We've both gone to wilderness therapy. We were
at like the disturbed, same time.
We were disturbed youth. And we found out on that podcast that we were in the exact same treatment program at the exact same time on just different sides of the mountains outside of St. George. So that was pretty insane. Also, we really dove into Hunter's background, how he went from male modeling to logging to world champion. Obviously. And now you guys can't see the video, but he's wearing a mullet, like a real mullet. And then he's got a flannel shirt that he's cut the sleeves off of. So if you can picture that, that's what I'm looking at.
Yeah. You remember that guy, Brian Bosworth?
No, but tell me about him.
Oh my God. Like one of the greatest football players back in like the 90s and stuff. I think maybe 90s, even 80s. And he was he was just like chiseled, handsome man, but had such a fantastic mullet, just like super butch. And like, if he wasn't so good looking, it would have been trouble. Like he wouldn't have been able to pull it off. And if he wasn't such a good football player, he wouldn't have been able to pull it off. So I'm kind of trying to bring back that heat. One of my favorite rappers, Riff Raff, he's wearing a mullet too. So I think the mullet's Riff coming Raff. Back.
Yeah. Riff Raff is good. I forgot about that dude until yesterday. Someone told me about this website where you can pay celebrities to send a video to someone. And I looked on the website and Riff Raff, you can get Riff Raff to send a video for like $50.
That's it?
Yeah.
It's got to be exhausting. I bet you he sends tons of those.
Then Caitlyn Jenner. Yeah, he probably does. Caitlyn Jenner's $2,500. That was the most expensive. Snoop Dogg, 500 bones.
Man, I would pay that kind of money.
Right?
So if I was really rich and I'm getting close, I would just spend all my money on pranking my friends.
Right?
Just everything. Like the most expensive thing. I would make sure that Caitlyn Jenner called you every single day to wake you up. At first, you'd be like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like 2 months into it, you'd be like, this is getting super annoying, Hunter. But I paid good money, so you're going to have to deal with it.
Okay, if you could have Snoop Dogg send you a video of one thing, what would he say and kind of how would he say it? Like say it in his voice.
I don't really know. He'd be like, hey, Daddy, I just want you to know that you're the greatest, you're the best. And I'd be smoking blunts thinking about you all day. And I'd have him just have a little hit and blow it out just for you, Big Daddy. Like I'd have him do it like that.
And you just throw that on every single morning.
Every single day, dude. I'm just flipping my pancakes and I just be like, I'm not having the greatest day ever. I just go back, check that message real quick. I'm back on my grind.
This has got to be the best podcast intro we've ever done. Yeah. All right, man. So on the last episode that we did together, at the very end of the show, you said we were talking about TMX. Actually, no. We weren't talking about TMX. Yeah, we were talking about the TMX.
We were only 1 month away from TMX.
Yeah, so we were talking about this where what's the organization? Tough Mudder invited a bunch of the top CrossFit athletes out to compete against you. And at the very end of the show, you said, I could never get an invitation to the CrossFit Games like they got an invitation to my event. And now here we are. 1 year and 2 days later, and you have the first of 4 wild card spots at the CrossFit Games. How you feeling, man?
I feel amazing. So what I did was I took a page out of a hippie's book and I just started manifesting things. I was like, I'm just going to sit here and I'm just going to start manifesting the fact that it could potentially happen. Because honestly, like that's kind of how it happened. There was really no path. I've talked about going to the CrossFit Games for years. I was like, I could go and I could do some damage. Like I'd really like to, but you know, the distance that you have to paddle across the ocean is basically like paddling across the ocean. Like from where I was to where you need to be like super prepared for the CrossFit Games is too enormous. Like you can't just take that jump without letting go completely of what's on one side. And then all of a sudden,
what do you mean by that?
I mean, like, if I was still going to be – like, I haven't done any competitive OCR events this year because I know with the amount of dedication I have to be putting towards being a competitive CrossFit athlete, like, I don't get the mileage. I don't – like, squatting takes all the horsepower out of my legs. Like, it's just a completely different sport. And I'll admit
– OCR is obstacle course racing for those of you who don't know. Keep going.
Yeah, sorry to toss that acronym at you. But yeah, so that kind of running is so specific and so intense that you couldn't be in CrossFit shape, and vice versa. CrossFit's so intense. Like I still go out for runs and I feel amazing running, but am I going to be able to hold a 5-minute flat mile for 10 miles while jumping over, like, you know, obstacles, doing crazy monkey bars and lifting and like all that stuff? No, like I'm not the same guy. And it's pretty insane. Like, I, even when I found out that I made it in, like after that little interview with Greg Glassman, I was like, I think this still might be a fake. Like, right. I'm not telling anybody. I called my brother and I called my dad and I told my girlfriend and a couple other people, but I was like, I'm not saying shit. And then next thing you know, I had an email in my inbox and I was like, wow, like this just happened. And then 2 days later, I got a drug test. I was like, holy crap, this is really happening. So it's full on. Like, I'm in the system and we're going to the games, baby.
Love it, dude. So you yeah. threw out the word manifesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I'm kind of joking. I always kind of tease, like, you know, there's a lot of people and I mean, it's been around for years, manifesting, but I think a lot of things I see online, you find these like motivational speakers and like, you know, at least maybe internet gurus who are talking about manifesting your future. And truthfully, I've kind of always been a person who manifests my futures because I think I even explained this to you. Like, no one's going to believe your story if you're not the biggest believer, because I literally like sit there in the morning and I'm beating war drums like every single day. I'm like, I'm going to the fucking CrossFit Games, baby. And like, you know, at first, like people are like, yeah, whatever, Hunter, like, shut up. I was like, no, it's going to happen. Trust me. Like, it's going to happen. And I had to keep on beating the drum, like beating drums and keep on telling so many people and keep on getting the momentum going to the point where it was like, it was really just like an avalanche of momentum behind me, so that everywhere I walked, like people were like, hey, were you talking about maybe going to the CrossFit Games? Like people I even never had even met before. So like people were just talking about it all in the community. Like I remember you guys, one of the first people to talk about it publicly and mentioning me when you had a little interview amongst your friends and you're like, hey, what about the wild card? Like Hunter McIntyre would be a great thing.
So
the buzz was starting to go around, and like that didn't happen just because people were like, oh, I know a guy. Like it happened right, because I started right. telling everybody. And it's crazy. Now that it really happened, I think a lot of people got upset because they were like, you just worked a campaign up to get attention. Like you didn't do anything to fucking earn it. And I was like, no, if you kind of rewind and you look at all the facts and seeing what I did over the past, like, you know, 8 years of my career and all the people in the circles that I'm in, like, you know, there's a reason why I was the first person they called out of all the other athletes right. that could have gotten a phone call. So, you know, now that we're here, it's pretty interesting. I think like if you watch the internet at all over the past 2 weeks, it was just like fire and hailstorm. Like people were going nuts over the fact that there was a wild card invite. Like, and I got so much hate mail. It was off the charts. Like, I don't even know.
When you say hate mail, are you talking about social media or are you actually getting letters? Have you gotten a single letter?
Someone sent me a bag of dicks, which were gummy shaped penises to eat. Like, and it's called Eat a Bag of Dicks. So that came just recently. That's amazing. So I don't know if that was from a lover or a hater.
That's a lover, I think.
Yeah.
Or just a really good friend.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't eaten them yet because I'm still just so torn up. I'm like, who would do this? So I have to figure it out before I take the first bite. But most of it was just internet backlash. And, you know, it was very interesting because I think at least when I think about the CrossFit community, when you watch the CrossFit Games, well, let's say somebody's trailing behind and everyone else is finished. Like everyone's like alongside of it clapping. It's a very supportive and inclusive community, at least from the outside looking in. And then as soon as I got in, it was, fuck you, Hunter. Like, get out of here. Yeah, I was immediately the villain. But, you know, I just was at the Granite Games this weekend, and Brent Fikowski was there after the heated battle we had online, and Travis Williams and Margo Alvarez and like some people that had like very clearly like, you know, thrown some shade at me. I just talked to him, and I think, you know, immediately any tension that was there was broken down and we were friends mm-hmm. by the end of the weekend. So I think I'm slowly winning over the hearts and souls of the CrossFit community.
Yeah, it's hard to hate people up close, right? Very easy to totally. Do through social media.
Well, I was just an idea. I was something that they were watching and like, you know, didn't really understand. And it was just an idea. Like, you know, it's very easy to hate an idea. But then when you're in person, like I was saying this, like it's hard to hate something that's so real. and like hard to really look me in the face and just take all that hate that was and fear that was inside of you and then try to really, you know, throw it at somebody. Because, you know, a lot of the times, like, even though I'm sure like a lot of like racist people would be like, you know, throwing out all these hate online, but then when they get face to face with another person of a different skin color, when they see it, it's like, oh gosh, this is a lot more real than I thought it was. And I don't really have the same emotions. And so when I got in there, I think it was a game changer. So I'm happy that I was able to experience and be face to face with a lot of the competitors I'll have in a couple months.
That's awesome, man. I want to dive even further into this, but first, I don't want to forget to highlight what you were already talking about. So you kind of jokingly talked about manifesting and doing so with your words. And I have a good friend named Mark England who owns a company called Procabulary.
Procabulary. I know Mark.
Yeah, man. And he's huge on this. He says that the definition of abracadabra is with my word, I create. And human beings have this unique ability to envision their future, right? To see themselves accomplishing something and doing something in the future and then going out and making it reality. And that's in essence what you did. You envisioned yourself at the CrossFit Games. You spoke it aloud, like, this is my intention. This is what I'm all about. And, you know, some people will say, oh, the universe conspired to make that happen for you. Well, you went one way or the other, you went out and made that a reality.
Yeah, that's been a big part of my life for a long time. Like, I have a Macho Man Randy Savage tattoo. I don't know if you can see hiding right there. And I've always been a huge fan of Macho Man Randy Savage. And, like, you know, I was getting into a really hard season in 2014. And I was like, gosh, like, I had to keep on, like, having this mental kind of, like, just conversation in my head, this dialogue. And I kept on talking to myself almost in the third person like Macho Man Randy Savage did. And I was like, you need to own that mentality. You need to own that mentality. And anytime like you break down, like you need to, even if you can't, like you don't feel it, like you need to see it. So I tattooed Macho Man Randy Savage in one of his most famous matches on the top rope, right before he was about to rain thunder down upon on everybody in the crowd.
This is funny, and, guys. He's trying to show me his tattoo, but I just keep seeing his armpit.
No, look, there's Macho Man. Can you see his hand right there?
There you go.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, even something like that, as small as it may seem, I remember I had a really, really hard workout and I was really getting down on myself and I was rolling around on the ground. And then all of a sudden in the flash of a mirror, I saw Macho Man hanging under my armpit. And I was like, Macho Man would never lay down like this in a time of pain. Like, he'd get back up, climb up to that top rope. And I've had to have these conversations with myself for years. And I don't know if it was kind of a similar process along with this CrossFit Games thing. Like, even when the games are done, I think the truest battle for me was starting to get the stone rolling, like that first couple pushes.
Yeah.
And then you have to get that weight going. And then once it's going, dude, it's actually a lot easier to move. So, and keeping that momentum is really important thing. The faster you go, actually, the easier it is to go. So, I mean, once I get there, I just got to make sure I keep that same energy and that same mindset that I had from day one all the way through the end of the weekend, because I think that's what's going to make me a real contender there.
Love it, dude. Yeah, I want to talk about that weekend in a little bit. But first, back to the shit talking, man. On the surface, people are, you know, they have their reasons on the surface. But why do you think people are really upset? What's really going on?
Well, it's a tough year. It's a really tough year for you guys. And I've gone through years in my sport where things have changed a lot. And I'm not in your sport, so I can't really hold the same emotions and feel the same emotions that you guys have. But if I had to guess, you know, people who put their whole heart and soul into this thing for years on end, and then all of a sudden the structure of the game changes, it's tough. And then when all of a sudden people, like, your opportunity to get there has been now narrowed by finances, traveling, all that kind of stuff, because now the sanctions are no longer local, but they're international. That's really tough and it's scary. Like, you know, even being at the Granite Games this weekend, like, the competition there was from all over the place and they were star-studded teams. You know, the best of the best are always showing up to get the opportunity, and you can't filter out, like, you know, some of the champs that are from the other side of the world because of it's regionalized anymore. Like, people are coming for cash and people are coming to qualify. So that's freaking scary. And it narrows down that opportunity. And then when all of a sudden somebody like myself, who, you know, kind of supposedly, as you see it squeaked by all the hard work that you had to put in, I think that makes them feel even more threatened and even more scared, because now somebody with supposedly a bigger social media following is that might now be the new way of qualifying. So I think people saw what was happening around them, and the one thing that was the easiest to, you know, basically lock your eyes on and start throwing stones at was me. Because how are you going to get a hold of Greg Glassman? How are you going to get a hold of Dave Castro? How are you going to get a hold of Jeff Kane, the president of CrossFit, the people who are really making these decisions?
Right.
There's no easy avenue to those guys, because I try to get a hold of them for the entire year to see if I could figure out how I could get to the games and like understand the wild card structure. Still haven't talked to any of them, except for I bumped into Jeff Kane, who's a really nice guy at the Granite Games. And who's the person who now CrossFit's like, you know, backing up and putting their word, like their name behind to be part of the new structure? Who's their new, you know, banner boy? Hunter McIntyre. I'm basically the face of their new year and what the new structure is going to look like. Cause you don't know the national champions from Egypt, China, all these freaking random places in the middle of nowhere. Now there's this one easy to get a hold of guy, and you just start freaking beaming down on them. You just go nuts. Yep. And it's even like, I just getting contacted by so many people, and some of them are top level CrossFitters. Some of them are people who are just fans that, like, you know, just are going nuts. They're like, I don't like the way it is anymore, and you have something to do with it, you big old jerk. And I couldn't even begin to understand how somebody from a little screen that they're pressing their thumbs on could have so much anger and angst about me, because in reality, like, I'm just a guy. There's tons of other guys coming who are new and who are going to change up the leaderboard just as much as me. And sure, maybe I'm a little bit more vetted. I'm a little bit better looking with my sleeveless tank top and my mullet and stuff. And maybe I'm just an easy target, but dude, it's just fuel to my fire. Like, after I met all those people that trashed me, I just said, hey, listen, you just give me more opportunity to make, like, I was going originally just to compete against myself. Like, that's all. Like, I created this opportunity for myself because I really wanted to see what kind of athlete I was. I've run obstacle course racing for years. I've competed in trail running. I've competed in triathlon, ultra marathons. Like, those are all been really hardcore tests of who I am as a person. And, you know, I was like, the CrossFit Games would be a nice cherry on top to really see if you are the athlete you've always thought you were. And I just wanted to see if I could go survive the weekend and really, like, you know, put the hammer down where I thought I was a talented athlete. And now these pieces of crap just coming out of the woodwork, just putting all that hate on me. I was like, I originally was coming to have a good time, and now I'm coming to burn you down in your backyard.
I was hoping you would say, open up a can of whoop ass.
Well, I'm not going to open up a game of whoop ass. Like, I plan on watching people crumble all around me. Like, if you give me any workout that's over 20 minutes and has a little bit of a cardiovascular base, you're going to watch the CrossFit world melt so hardcore. They're going to have to rethink their entire athletic structure. They've never seen anything like it before next to them. And I'm just going to prove them completely wrong. And I plan on doing that from the beginning, but now I'm vocal and I'm going to start pointing fingers. And I'm going to let people know who I plan on burning down the most. I'll run back and forth. I'll do little zigzags. I'll come ask them a question, then I'll run back a mile forward. I'll come back and make sure that they're doing okay, give them a gummy bear to chew on, then I'll go back to the front of the line. And, you know, that's how I've always competed. Like, it's not like hate. It's more of, it's just another log on the fire. Like, I've just always competed that way. So understand that it has nothing to do specifically with you, but you were a log on my fire.
I think that part of the reason people are so upset is what you've been talking about, where they're it's kind of misplaced anger, right? They have anger at the fact that there are wild card spots in the first place. There's anger at the change in the structure in general. And you've just become this just such an easy scapegoat, right? Because you are so vocal. And this is the other piece. You are vocal. You're very bold. You're just devilishly handsome. And so there, you know, you just stick out like a sore thumb, and it's really easy to talk shit. And people have been just searching tirelessly for somewhere to point that anger.
That's totally cool. Like, I think you'd be amazed. I think there's going to be a bigger boost in numbers in the CrossFit Games viewers this year than there ever has been. Even though there's been a little bit of a dip, maybe because, like, you know, what's been happening with sanctional events and some of the, like, you know, it's, in the media is kind of like loop has fallen down. But if there's a live stream platform there, I think it will be bigger, because I've heard from countless people, and at least in my community and in the CrossFit community, they're like, hey, I'm excited to either watch you get trashed or trash some people. Like, right. And
or both.
It's just going to bring some heat. And that's kind of what sports are becoming these days. Like, you have to find ways to make sure that it's engaging with the community. And this might be the perfect way for the community to kind of really reinvest and fall in love again with what's been happening with CrossFit. There's been this complete swing away from, hey, like, this is who we are, this is what we represent, and this is how we portray it. And people are like just crushed by that, that they took it away, and now it's going to swing back to this whole new structure, and it's going to find a way that the community can reinvest and reconnect with what CrossFit is. And I'm just the start of what could be a whole new era. And I'm not trying to say I'm a big part of that. I'm just saying I'm just the first person that they're bringing in.
Right.
And I'm very excited to see what they do with the wild card, because there's so many other talented, amazing athletes out there in the world who can really show and shine their athletic traits in a platform like the CrossFit Games. Because I truly think the CrossFit Games, that and the Tour de France, are the two greatest and most challenging athletic events in the world. Like, just, they're so grueling, they're so long, they're so dynamic, and it's really fun. And, you know, it's a worldwide sport. So, you know, they're always trying to find new ways to make sure that sport is going to grow in a way that the community can gain from it and the athletes are challenged. So I think I'm going to be a great challenge, and I'll be a great way for the community to connect.
Yeah, I feel like I'm starting to understand you better. It seems like more than anything, you're simply driven by the desire to challenge yourself as much as possible. OCR, ultra marathons, the Broken Skull Ranch. And now you have the opportunity to compete in one of the two most grueling challenges on the world, says you, right?
Yeah.
Can you talk about what this means to you a little bit, about the challenge aspect?
Yeah, well, you know, I grew up as a kid and I always liked challenging people, like, hey, let's run to the top of the hill. Let's bike down the hill as fast as possible. Let's go play paintball. Let's arm wrestle, like, anything. I never loved any of those things more than the other ones. So I never was so dedicated in sport or in anything that I was going to be like a really champion athlete until around 19. I was just sick and tired of people giving me the most potential award or always telling me, like, if you worked a little harder, you'd be a lot better. And I just flipped a switch and I completely went from from this party boy, Hunter McIntyre, to like going to be the best athlete you've ever seen, Hunter McIntyre. And I put all the drugs and drink into the side. And I was like, that's it. Like, until you stop singing this song, like, you better be the best. And I'm setting the tone. Nobody else is there behind me pushing me to do better at this. Like, you know, I think my family's all excited that I'm working very hard, but if I quit tomorrow, they wouldn't care. My friends wouldn't care. There's no gigantic contracts that are surrounding me that if I quit tomorrow, they'd be like, hey, Hunter, like, you're a breach of contract. Like, you know, you lose all the money you make. Like, I'm my own self-made man. And the great part about that is, at the beginning of every single year, I get to reinvest and decide who I am and design who I will be by the end of that year. And I most certainly, like, I started out in obstacle course racing, and then I started a television show called Boundless, where I tried all the hardest ultras in the world, and I quit my career, which was already very fruit-bearing and opportunistic, and went and did this television show. And then I did the same thing with Broken Skull Ranch, and then I went back into obstacle course racing. And I've always kind of bopped in and out, but I've given everything I've done with absolute intensity. And that's a reason why I think I've been picked for the wild card, because who do you know who's traveled around the world, done everything, and still find a way to win it? Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say right now that I'm a champion of the CrossFit Games. Maybe someday if I put every ounce of effort into it, I could get there. But I just said to myself, I'm like, Hunter, like, you're 30 years old this year. if you don't take the leap now, you may never have the opportunity again. And if you put this focus in now, you could potentially become a champion in 2 or 3 years. And I understand it takes that kind of dedication in any sport. Like, you don't just walk in and all of a sudden put a weight belt on and you're a freaking champion. It doesn't happen like that. It takes every ounce of strength, focus, research, ups and downs of emotions to make sure that you, first of all, after months of being invested, still have the investment to follow through on it. And then when you get there, do you have the intentions and capabilities of actually following through on what you said? So I was like, dude, start now and somehow it's going to work out. And I don't want to, like, you know, I don't want to be on my bed the day that I die and say that I didn't try everything that I had in my body and don't walk to the edge of the earth and find out all the answers to the questions I have. And I want to know if I'm capable of crushing the CrossFit Games. So that's why I'm here. And I think enough people are interested, including yourself, that that's why I'm on this podcast. Like, does a man who takes everything that he has in his athletic potential, mind, body, and spirit, and puts it in, have the opportunity to come in and really hang with the best? And I think it's going to be an incredible journey. And I think it's going to be really exciting for people to see, you know, the most positive outcome could be very successful. And the most negative outcome could still be really, really exciting for people to learn from, including myself. So, you know, at this point, like, I've got 2 months and I've come back to Colorado and I'm just here to put every ounce of energy and focus that I have into game day.
Amen, man. Yeah, that's it's an inspiring approach. And I think anyone, any conscious person can really relate to that desire to feel like they're uncovering the questions that they want in life and they're just giving it every last ounce that they have. And you're actually going out and doing it. So that's awesome.
Thanks, man. I'm excited. Are you going to come this year?
No, I'm going to be in Europe. It's the first year I've missed since 2011. But I didn't know you were going to be there, man.
I'd burn that plane and take it to the ground. You better hike your ass to the CrossFit Games because this is about to get wild.
I'll see what I can do, man. So on a Forbes interview that I've seen you on, as well as the Morning Chalk Up, you said some version of this. Do I want to be a CrossFit athlete? No. The Open and Regionals are not that exciting, et cetera, but the Games are one of the biggest challenges on the planet. Talk to me about that. Like, where's the disconnect there? Tell me a little bit about that.
So, I mean, I've had this awesome opportunity over the past couple of years through FitAid to travel around and train with the best CrossFitters in the world. And I've gained a lot of respect for them. Like, I can only say positive things about the CrossFit community and their way of training because it is incredibly focused and incredibly hard. Like, they're not pussies. They don't just go for jogs in the park like a lot of competitive runners I know. They're always grinding. And that impresses the hell out of me. But do I want to be in a gym for 6 hours a day to train for a workout that lasts 7 minutes in a video, like in a video submission way of like showing how good I am? No, that's, to me, that's not the sport that I'm interested in. Like, I like going out on that big platform around all of those peoples, being shoulder to shoulder against other champions and just breaking my back and showing at the end of that day or start to finish, who's the best man last man standing, who's the best man at the finish line. Like, that's the kind of athlete that I've always been since I grown up. And even at the regionals level, like, completely respect what they do there, but it's the same exact thing. It's like, hey, like, let's all train for hours and hours and hours every single day for years on end to come to an auditorium or a stadium, you know, somewhere and just do power cleans in front of each other and do like walking lunges with dumbbells across some rubber mats and climb a rope. Like, no, I'm not going to take my entire life and invest it into that kind of sport. Like, that's, to me, is still not the kind of challenge and kind of environment that I want to work hard to be in. And then all of a sudden you get to the CrossFit Games. And I think a lot of people are pissed off about this. Like, you can't just walk your way into the games, mister. Like, no, the CrossFit Games is the ultimate platform of sport in the fitness community, where there are stadiums filled with tens of thousands of people and there's incredible, like, you know, venues where they bring you out into a lake and they have you, like, you know, charge across these like brilliant trails and dump dive into the water and then come out and you're carrying fucking 200-pound kettlebells on your shoulder and like run it. It's like this great outdoor sport. And it's a mixture of stadium, outside, incredibly heavy barbell, then into some crazy slug thing that you have to drag and push and pull. Like it's in dynamic. It's fascinating. It's capturing. Like it's just insane. And like that to me is something that I will invest every fiber of my body into. And if you're the person who wants to train for the Open, train for the Open. If you want to train for regionals or essential, train for regional or essential, but I'm training for the games because that's the man I am. And that's the kind of athlete I am. And I will be ready for the challenge when the day comes. And like, you know, I just went to the sanctional this weekend and the Granite Games did an amazing job. I've only got incredibly positive things to say about the way that they designed everything and the way they put it together. And so it was fascinating that they were able to move that many athletes, that many freaking movements, gear, all that kind of stuff. I was like, wow. But I thought to myself, I was like, we've come from around the world to come sit in a hockey auditorium and do workouts. I was like, let's get outside. I'm like, you guys have one of the best universities like around with all these crazy opportunities to use their you know, their fields, the river right next to us that we could do a swim thing in. Like, it's crazy. I'm like, use what you freaking have. Like, I don't want to be back in a freaking garage gym again. Like, let's fucking go do something. So I was fascinated and frustrated this weekend. And let me tell you, like, cannot wait to get out there on the big flat platform. But I think that the Open is cool, but it is not my athletic endeavor and like my goal end game.
So let's say you go to the games, you place top 10, you're fucking fired up about being that close to the podium.
Yeah.
And your wild card spot has come and gone. Do you think you could change your mind on this whole Open regional sanctional thing?
Yeah, totally. And I've said that in with Fikowski. I was like, if this becomes something by the time, like, you know, Sunday's over, that I was like, gosh, I can't go another year of my life without having that experience. Most certainly I will invest the time. Like, I'm not somebody who's just going to throw in the towel because I'm like, oh, it's too much work now. No, that's not me, but I can most certainly say that, I'm not willing to throw away my lifestyle and the sport that I've worked so hard to become the athlete I'm already in now, just on the happenstance of qualifying through the platform that they had created. And I understand that will upset a lot of people, but you know, they created wild card. So I'm riding that train in. I'm definitely not going to go through the Open. Like, I'm not even going to do the Open in October. I've got my championships for obstacle course racing. I've got to go back to what I do. But I will go to the sanctional events. Like, I'm going to be at the West Coast Classic. I'm going to go to other things. And, you know, I've done the research and I'll be prepared for those events too. But, in a perfect world, I'd like to have both. I would like to find a way that I could somehow build the fitness of what it takes to be a part of the year CrossFit athlete and do obstacle course racing. Cause I love running. Like, I love being out in the mountains. It's awesome.
So over
you even said it, you're in Austin, Texas, dude.
Yeah,
you want
to
go back
them,
to
man.
The mountains.
I miss the mountains. Yeah. So over a third of games events are always endurance based. And then there are others that are just very work capacity based, like moving dummies and sandbags, slugs, et cetera. Yeah. We also know that the games favors sort of well-rounded specialist, someone that doesn't have any huge weaknesses, but can also win an event or do really, really well in an event because of the way the scoring system works.
Sounds a lot like this guy, Hunter McIntyre.
Right. So with all that said, how do you honestly feel about your chances of competing for a podium spot?
I'll say two things. If you put me back in 2017 and 2018, like, I just made a bet with a girl. I think her name is Alexis. She's a PhD math student out of Johnson.
Alexis Johnson.
I have to get a belly button ring if I don't come top 15 for a month.
This is amazing.
So I'm saying that publicly on your podcast, and you guys who already hate me online can hate me online if I don't put it in my belly button. Right afterwards, I'll go home and I'll get a belly button ring. Great looking one too. But if I come above top 15, she has to get a mullet. Wow. I really want her to get a real mullet, but I think I'm just going to make her wear a mullet in the gym for a whole month straight. And she has to post about it every single day.
Amazing.
I do think that I'm a 15 plus athlete. I would love to come top 10. I would love to do a Bo Jackson this year, where like Bo Jackson was arguably one of the best football players and he freaking crushed it out in baseball. I want to go in top 10 on CrossFit and I want to go be podium potential at my world championship in obstacle course racing in the fall. Because like that, as I said, is the kind of spirit of athlete that I am. And I would love to make sure that I can be ready for both challenges. I think I can flip that switch and come back and forth. You know, a lot of people have told me, and I've heard amongst like, you know, not just bros, but like, you know, people in the CrossFit community, that Dave Castro is like, you know, supposedly would never let that happen. And he's, you know, there's even rumors he's saying that he's going to program totally against me.
Conspiracy theory.
But listen, I've never met the guy, so I can't make judgments based on what I hear amongst the, you know, these little bro circles of CrossFit. But, you know, if you look at the way the CrossFit games are designed, like I'll just give you like a window of what the first day looks like. Like the first day last year wasn't even a superstar day for me, but I'd still do very well. Like I was a spin instructor for 5 years and I still put in like 100-mile weeks of biking all the time. Like that crit race comes up, I'm telling you, I have a top five placement. Like unless my tire pops like Patrick Fellner, which is unfortunate, I know how good I am at bike. You know, that marathon row, like I nearly row a 6 minute flat 2K and I can also run a marathon in like 2:30. And I know that I have the same pull and endurance power to do both together. If you just put it together mathematically in my head, I say I'm going to still be a top plate, five place finisher. Yeah. The total I'm not going to do amazing on. Yeah. The rings I'm not going to do insanely amazing on, but not so bad that I'm going to be the very last person in either of those things. And then, you know, the run, swim, run, things like that. Then, like, you know, that one where they biked and ran and pulled. Like, those are all things that I know that I'm going to be top five, if not number one, depending on how it stacks up. And, you know, to come 15th place last year, you had to get 530 points. So, let's say in the way that I'm going to the games, I'm going to win three events. Like, that's my goal. That's 300 points right there. You come top five and maybe one or two other events, you're getting another like 50 points. And then you come top 10 and maybe one or two events. Like it just keeps on adding up to be, I think, fifth place. You need to have 760 points. So, you know, the math is all there. I'm not trying to sit here and just keep on throwing numbers at people because it's boring, but that's what I believe. Because when the snatch ladder comes up, the clean ladder comes up, like these crazy things, like, I remember a couple of years ago, they had to do like deadlifts with super heavy kettlebells and like, you know, do pegboards. I'll run the show on that. I'm great. Like maybe not the best. And I totally am cool with that. Like you guys show me what you're good at and I'd love to contend against you. But when it comes to like the heavy stuff, like I'm going to respectively say that this isn't my event. I'm going to put a good effort forward, but I'm not going to, you know, break my spine trying to get 300 pounds overhead. Like mm-hmm. I stop around 250.
Right.
And I'm structuring my training to the way that I'm going to be as ready as I possibly can be for about 80% of the events that are going to be there.
Love it, dude.
Like So it would be amazing to see how I stack up against the best because I really want everyone to have a level playing field. And I want people to understand, like when I represent who I am as an athlete, that, you know, the events that are there for everybody are evenly distributed. Like they're not programming against me. They're not programming for anybody. And I think that's going to be where you see the most exciting performance because I think really if CrossFit's designed a platform to say that they build the fittest people on earth, that they need to stay true to their programming. They need to stay true to what they are as a company. And if I train properly, I should give everybody a good show.
Is there any way that this doesn't turn out to be a huge win for you? Career-wise, anything?
Well, no, I think the win has already happened. Like I got to do something that I've been dreaming of doing for years. Brent brought up that he thinks that this is out of financial interest and social media fame. Like once again, I do pretty well where I'm at right now. Like I don't expect to make a $300,000 check off CrossFit. So listen, I'm not walking away with fat pockets here. Career wise, yeah, it's going to allow me to really spend time with a lot more interesting people and give me an opportunity to come into a circle that I've always been very envious of meeting. Like, I got to train with Sarah Sigmund's daughter this year, Matt Frazier, Tia Claire Toomey, you know, Chris Hinshaw, Jacob Heppner. Like, these are people, this is what I do, what I do for. Like, I, that's why I'm doing it. I would love to work with the best, to be the best that I can possibly be. And that's the kind of person I am. And hopefully after this year is over, like, those circles are still open to me, because I have learned a lot and I've loved the experiences. And competing on the highest level of sport, competing at the highest level of sport is what makes me happiest. Like, I don't like to go to the local throwdowns, even though I will, because I know that's not where I feel like I'm really tearing myself to pieces to find out my greatest potential. And, like, I think I'm going to get to walk away, like, happier than anybody else at the game. Matt Frazier may win for the fourth time, but is he going to walk away with a shit-eating grin like I've got? Probably not. Like, I can't wait. I'm so lucky. I'm so fortunate to have an opportunity like this. But at the same time, I don't take it lightly. Like, I come hard prepared, and I'm very grateful to the people that have represented me on the sponsorship side and friendship side and my relationships I've had. Like, I'm making sure to give back tenfold, because people have been very supportive to make sure that I've got where I'm at right now in the state that I'm in.
So in a second, I want to talk about your stellar living situation. But first, yeah. Is there anything else you want people to know about you and your intentions this year, training for and competing at the games?
First and foremost, I'm grateful. Thank you, CrossFit. Thank you, anybody who's been a supporter. Thank you for all the haters for giving me energy to train harder. Thanks, Mike, for giving me a platform to speak on my behalf. Understand that when I show up on game day, like, the best result or the worst result, like, I've already won. And I don't think you guys can take that from me. And I'm not trying to say that in a negative way. Like, I feel so happy. Like, I'm fucking excited. And that's the whole reason I'm there. Like, I'm at the end of the day, I think everybody's going to go back to their homes. And if you have you're a little salty about this whole thing, like, you know, live your life and I'm living mine, because I'm living my dream and you should live yours. And if you're a keyboard warrior, keep it to yourself, or make sure that you understand that I'm bringing a lot more heat than you're ready for.
Yeah, it's very interesting how much energy in the form of anger can travel from the heart out to the arms and then through the thumbs into the little screen.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I most certainly, I don't make it easy on anybody.
Well, good for you, brother. You manifested the shit out of it.
Thanks, man.
So tell us, before we get out of here, what's your living situation? What's the ritual that you have every year?
So, kind of like a reconnect of where we were last year. I was in Park City with my bro Benny. But now I'm back at my roots in Colorado. Like, very fortunate. Our sport somehow, is in the mountains, which I love the most. And we build these training camps out here in the mountains of Colorado, this year in Boulder, Colorado, the big bad Boulder. We call ourselves the Boulder Babes. If you want to come hang out with the hot and naughty of Boulder. And, we basically have started, like, you know, when we were just broke losers, like, we all had dreams, but we didn't have the pennies to back it up. We started out, like, getting these, like, cheap homes. Like, my buddy, I had a bed. My buddy lived in the garage in an air mattress, like, a hot garage, no air conditioning. And then we graduated a little bit to the point where we started to get, like, everyone had their own bedroom, but it was, like, air mattresses and stumps. And, like, anytime, like, someone left trash out, like, you know, if someone leaves, like, a table outside their house with the trash, like, we'd, like, quickly grab it and, like, run home with it.
Nice.
So, like, we were basically building, like, you know, those little kid blanket fortresses. Like, we live in a home like that. And it's the greatest. Every single year I leave my cush place in Malibu, which, you know, let me tell you, like, it's hard to say goodbye to it every single time. It gets worse. But I go back to the bare bones basics of what it takes to be what I am. And that's just heavy lifting, hard running, talking shit, arm wrestling matches, rocks, paper, scissors, shoot, high stake.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. I love
it. To the highest level, dude. Oh my gosh. I was just telling my girlfriend, so I was just explaining my roommate to her, and I was like, we got to town and we were just like, we're going to drink one night and we're going to get straight into being serious. We went out to the bar and it was rocks, paper, scissors, shoot. Every single time you lost, you had to chug a beer immediately. within like 5 minutes, he had to chug six beers, threw up all over the place. We went straight home and went to bed. That was all we wanted to do. Like, it was just like that. We're in, we're out, we're gone. Yep. Like, and that's the kind of stuff that we did. We always have bug eating contests where I search high and dry, like, for the biggest bug that I can find every single day. And I come home with it stuffed in my pocket and I'll just go, dude, I was like, rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Whoever loses has to eat whatever in my pocket. And like, I'm telling you, dude, we bring home beasts. And it's just, it's fun because at the true core of who I am, like, I'm just a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. Yep. But you need to reach down. Every single year it gets harder because there's so many things that are pulling you away from living that kind of bare bones, like, you know, just go-getter lifestyle. Like, you know, most people want to move on, like, you know, to having a really nice king-size bed with nice sheets and air conditioning. No, like, we cut that shit out and we go back to those kind of like just middle of nowhere Rocky style training camps. And we get stronger every single year because it takes more mental energy to create that kind of environment. And I've got two guys who I live with and another half dozen people within 5 minutes, who will help break my back every single day. Like, there's never a day where they're not trying to kill me. And I mean that not with like a gun or a knife. I'm talking about like physically at any challenge. And you know what it means, dude? It's like when I show up on game day, anybody who's been competing against me, who doesn't have that kind of mental thunder, they're not ready because I take that heat. Like when I was at the Grand Games just now, I was like talking shit to everybody and not in a mean way. I'm not like you buck-toothed son of a gun. Like, you're never going to beat me. Like, you know, we're just finding little ways to get in their head a little bit, you know? And it's such a fun environment. Like, I'm so happy. I'm going to do it till the day I die. Like, my wife's going to hate me and I'll be like, listen, it's summer camp. I got to go. You take care of the kids. I'll be back in a couple months. But that's just who I am at my core, and the people around me, friends and family, they all support it. They love it. And, you know, hopefully I have some good stories to tell you next time I see you.
That's amazing, dude. The idea of leaving the cush place in Malibu to go and rough it for a while, it makes me think of this Stoic principle of self-denial. The Stoics were huge on not randomly, but they would periodically challenge them, or not challenge themselves. They would go without luxuries that they're used to having, whether it be bedding or shelter or different foods or alcohol. And then when they have those things again, then they're so much more grateful for them. And it does something, it sharpens the mind, and it sounds like it really helps you reconnect to what really matters to you.
Totally, dude. Like, it's an amazing experience because I walk around this world with a car that when I sit in it and turn the key, it turns on. An iPhone, when I turn it on, I could reach anywhere in the world to buy whatever I want and it'd be at my house in 2 days. I've got the best food. I've got the best, you know, drink. You know, I live in Malibu overlooking the mountains with the best looking people and like everything like that. And what that does is it kind of just makes you soft. Like, you poke me in the belly and I'm just, you know, I've just gotten soft. And when I get out into these woods and you take away all those things, there's no plugs, there's no lights. Like, you know, it's not so bare bones that to make you think that I'm living in a cardboard box, but it's the elements of luxury that take a man's furious soul away. And I hope everyone hears that and you just try to find ways to make your life just a little bit more challenging. And it doesn't have to always be forever, but like, you know, I'll tell you one thing right now that just blew my mind, challenged me like a month ago. I decided to try to go the entire month of April without any single serve plastic containers at all. Like, I couldn't drink out of a water bottle. I couldn't eat a bag of chips. I couldn't eat the yogurt containers I want, like everything like that. And it made me mad. It made me mad because it just like, I was just like, holy crap. I'm like, my life is so cush and comfortable. Like, if you took this away from me for a long time, I'd go insane. I'd have to pull the hair out of my head. But it's exactly those kind of principles that kind of reshape me as a man every single year. So, you know, if that's anything to inspire you, I hope you guys take that kind of energy and rock this next year.
Love it, brother. Thank you so much, man. Guys, hey, you can
quick question. Yeah. If I'm top 10 at the games going the last day, you should probably catch a flight and come watch your boy rip some shit up.
I like that. I like that. Yeah. I'm in, bro. I'm in.
All right.
You can find him on Instagram at Hunt the Sheriff. Where else, damn man? Right. Anywhere else? The mean streets of Boulder.
Mean streets of Boulder, Boulder babes. If you want to find me, just hit me up on Instagram. I'm quite responsive, and I'm always looking for a good time. If you're in the Colorado, look me up because I'm going to be bending bars and running hard every single day.
Boom. Later, brother.
Yeah.
This episode is finished, but your training journey continues. Head over to brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW and grab your free pack of 32 accessory workouts that you can incorporate into your training and start improving your strength immediately. That's brutestrengthtraining.com/SSW.